What's going on, everybody? We are coming to you live from Farmington Hills, Michigan at Take a Chance Records. I'm Will, a.k.a. Siren. We got Nate over here.
Yes, sir. Back with a big day.
You, I missed a week.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is my first episode in a while, if we really break it down, like, since 70.
Yeah, because we haven't put one out in, you know,
a couple
of, now. As of right now, it's been, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
We had a little hiatus. As you guys know from the last episode, he was out just because of a... personal reasons. I'm sure you've seen on the last few episodes that he's got some stuff going on. He's in good condition today.
Yeah,
glad to see you here.
Feeling good today.
But yeah, if you haven't checked out last week's episode, go check that out.
I heard it was great.
Felix the Don, phenomenal episode. Well, with that being said, we got this one in the works. We have Gage Lane. We got
singer, songwriter,
producer.
Yep.
So funny enough, we just learned that he records
music.
Himself.
Yeah.
Oh, you make your own music?
Yeah.
You sing and shit?
Sing, I rap, and I'm an artist, like I say, yeah.
I know you from the producer.
I know, that's the thing. I keep them separate. I keep them separate.
What?
I
don't play about my shaking, get a 10 piece on the daily. Switching gears like a 10 speed, head down, pedal crazy. Yeah. I did not know you. I'm trying to break the cycle.
That's what, I'm coming out from behind the boards.
I only knew you as a producer. So, started rolling 2 minutes after we found, no, like probably 5 minutes after we found out that he makes
music. You were like, hold on, play some shit.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Like, I had no idea.
No, I think
fire.
A lot of people don't know, especially if they're finding me from like the producer side. I don't know, something about like the clients. I don't want my artistry to be up front when potential clients are finding me, you feel me?
Yeah.
I think that's just, I keep it separate, plus like the algorithm and shit. I don't want to be posting like producer tips for my artist page.
Right.
Sounds like him.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you guys for
real. I know you had about a 50-minute drive out here.
Yep, sorry I was late.
No, you're good, man. We always run late anyways. It's not the end of the world. But, like I said, thank you for coming on. Means a lot. Just kind of jump into it. A little bit on your upbringing. You know, what, before music was in the picture, has it always been music? You know, what were you doing as a kid when you were growing up?
So I'm from Detroit. Mount Elliott, Conan area, lived with my grandma, my mom, whole family was living at my grandma's house. Pretty much my whole family lived on the block at one point, but eventually people started moving and now pretty much no one's there. Music, definitely a lot of influence from like my uncles and stuff, but no one actually in my immediate family was a musician. So that kind of just found me.
Okay.
But yeah, listening to a lot of different stuff. Whether Dixie Chicks, Alan Jackson, a lot of country, then like Korn, Limp Bizkit,
rap fans.
Eminem. Yeah, it just started getting crazy.
These rap fans don't know about Dixie Chicks.
I hate to admit it. Like my first concert was either like Dixie Chicks or the Alan Jackson concert. I think, is it Shania Twain who does Strawberry Wine?
Yes.
That was like my first concert.
You got to see Alan Jackson?
Yeah.
That's fire.
That's wild.
And, you know, I haven't listened to him in a long-ass time, but, like, I heard him on the radio, and it still does something for me.
Oh, hits.
Yeah.
He just has hits. Yeah, it's like that dude that made the, the dude that made the Tarzan playlist. God, it's a famous dude.
I don't know who it is. I don't know what you're referring to right now, to be honest.
He's a singer. He did the halftime show. He did the album for Tarzan, the movie. Like, he's the singer in all those songs. God, keep talking.
Since you were around music, I guess you could say, you know, you always had the influence. But, like, what really drew you to, like, start creating your own? How, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 31.
31, okay. Yeah. Okay. So you guys, what, 24? You're 23? Or you're 24 now?
24.
Okay. Yeah. So... yeah, put me through, like, how old were you when you first, like, considered music or really got into it?
So, where do I want to start? So, it starts early, but I can't remember this. So, my pops got me a drum kit, and my mom returned the bitch.
Whoa.
So, like, yeah, so my pops hasn't really been around and shit. We don't got a relationship. But, I had a drum kit, and then it was gone one day. So, I was like, all right, whatever. I remember having like some like toy acoustic guitars, but it wasn't until middle school. There was a talent show and there was a rap group called TRS, the Rebel Stance. And then there was also a punk band called No One's Anthem. So after that, like I wanted to do both. like I wanted to rap, but I also wanted to grab a guitar. So eventually I did get a guitar, and many years after that started a band, was in a couple different bands. When that stuff kind of stopped working out, I was just like tired of trying to organize people. And that's when I, you know, started producing, engineering. I was just like, I need something where this isn't going to fall apart because, you know, different members, personalities,
right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
By the way, it was Phil Collins.
Phil Collins.
Fucking hits. Hits.
Okay. I know. Yeah.
I was going to ask this when we were talking about first concerts. Who's yours?
Drake and Future when Eminem came out.
Say swear no to way. God, that's first your first ever concert?
Yeah.
Mine was either...
All right, well, I'd say, like, music industry concert, yes. But, like, obviously, like, there was, like, stuff as a kid that
I saw the
went
Wiggles,
to, like,
I remember. But see, that's like, not, like, I, that doesn't count.
Right. Yeah, Drake and Future is my first ever concert.
I think it was The Temptations for me.
That's fire.
Or Toby Keith, and they were both at DTE.
Okay.
Toby Keith, actually, all the drunk people were, like, sliding by me on the mud. And I was like, that looks fun. And I said it to one of the guys, and he was like, get up and try it. And my mom didn't want me to do it. And then I swear to God, like, when I stood up to do it, the whole, like, our whole area, I just heard, like, they just went crazy. And then I went to go down the hill, and I slipped and hit hard. Oh, shit. My mom had to take me, like, cleaning me up. I'm
How
sorry.
Old are you?
Oh, six, okay. Seven. Like, young.
Hell yeah.
Young. I love Toby Keith. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace to Toby Keith, man. He's a legend. I saw on your story the other day, I wanted to ask you about this. I was going to slide up, but I was like, I'm just going to save it for the pod. You were using FL?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't usually use FL, so, or what do you use?
When I first started producing, FL was like the easiest thing to crack. So I definitely made beats in FL. I was trying to make like dubstep. I was trying to make dubstep, but it was just hard. So like the first beat I remember making was, I literally remade Soulja Boy, cranked that.
Hey.
But since then, like FL's, like using FL now, it's like brand new to me. I tried Ableton back then, but I'm a Pro Tools guy now.
Okay.
So I will use Ableton from time to time. But yeah, I'm trying to get into FL just because of the sound. You know, a lot of people, industry, use FL.
So as an up-and-coming producer wanting to learn, when you say the sound off of each different DAW, what exactly do you mean? Because I feel like that can mean a lot of different
things. The
thing
is, like, they should all, like, null out. Like,
what the fuck is that noise?
I have no idea.
Someone's doing some construction.
Yeah. They were working on the roof a few days ago, so they might be down here. But anyway, sorry.
If anyone could, yeah,
it might not pick up in these mics. So,
yeah,
so.
They all should be, like, if you drop the same audio in all of them, they all should null out. But I think what it is, like, Ableton, there's just, like, a color to it. And I think it might be, like, a low-pass filter that's on every track or something. I don't know, really. But Ableton just has kind of a cool sound. And then I know with FL, it's just, like, their soft clipper, whatever else.
Yep,
they got gross beat.
Yep.
Just certain characteristics, you know, when it's made in FL.
I've wanted to learn Ableton for a while because I've heard that's like more of the.
This would be, yeah.
I've heard, but I'm just so familiar with FL, I'm like nervous to transfer over. But
yeah.
I've heard it's easy to kind of transfer over to certain DAWs from FL. So I don't know. Since he uses Pro Tools to record people,
yeah.
I want to learn how to make beats on Pro Tools. So maybe that's something we could work on in the future.
It's not as hard as you think.
Okay.
That's what I was going to ask. You produce on Pro Tools.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you guys. I've been making a beat every day for like the past 4 years. I'm going to do 5 years and then maybe I'll stop. Maybe
wow.
I won't. But all the beats are in Pro Tools and it's just so simple to me. To me, it's straightforward to where like in FL, I'm just like, why do I got to assign the tracks to their mixer or whatever? You know,
there's so obviously I'm not too educated cause I'm only a year and a half in if that, you know, I'm still learning a lot, but FL, it's easy to navigate through once you figure it out, but there's so many hidden things that I have no idea about and want to learn about. And I feel like how fluent are you in FL? If you had to rate yourself from like a 1 to 10,
I've made 3 or 4 beats like since I've been using it.
Okay.
Like, again, you know
okay.
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Cause like, even if it's Pro Tools, I want to sit down with you one day and like, I want you to run me through like just making a beat on Pro Tools because since he uses it, I want to learn how to use it. Just obviously, I can get the track stems from FL and send them over to him. But I feel like it's easier to just have in one project. So I don't know.
You're the first producer I think has said like they make on Pro Tools that we've had on.
Yeah, a lot of people are Ableton and FL.
Everyone that's popping through my head, like I thought of Chris Center. He popped in my head because I remember on his on their pod, we talked to them for like 15 minutes about the difference and stuff, and he was like, "Nah, I don't really think people are making beats on Pro Tools."
I guess, you know, I think I know Jay Dilla used like the MPC and stuff, but I want to say he was actually like tracking out into Pro Tools.
Okay.
And it's like, I don't think many people know that.
Damn.
Yeah. So run me through before the whole process between you starting up music and to get fresh. Yep. That era.
So before getting into music,
you got into music when you got to get fresh yourself?
No, no.
Oh, I was not, like, what?
No,
I was
no,
like,
it
what?
It was a long time in the making. Before music, I did play football. I ran track for a year. I ended up quitting because like, I pulled fucking like both my groins or something. But I did play football. I played football for 3 years. And then one day I was like, I was going to play like middle school football or whatever. And I just got like hit by a kid who was like on the team. And I was just like, you know what? Maybe I don't want to do this anymore. So I was skateboarding and stuff. You know, I was trying to like join a band like earlier. I just wasn't ready. I wasn't good enough, you know? So eventually I met somebody who like taught me how to read tabs, started doing that. But back then I would have said I wanted to be like a pro skater or something.
Do you have videos of you skateboarding?
No. I was never that good.
I was going to say you have to send them to me. Like, I'll pop them up.
I can do like basic stuff, but like I couldn't do nothing like that would like flashy, you know?
Yeah.
But when I realized, I was like, yeah, I don't know about being a pro skater. I just felt like the band path was easier, you know? Don't have to worry about breaking bones unless you fall on stage, you know, which I have done.
I think everyone has. I fell on stage one time.
One time I was... it was at the Hayloft. There was a venue in Mount Clemens called the Hayloft. And during like our whatever band I was in, the first song, I jumped directly on the monitor with both feet and it just like was falling off the stage. The people in front caught the monitor, but I fell. And I don't know if it was the same show, but I also broke a guitar strap. So I was playing the whole set just like trying to hold my guitar up all weird.
We did a show a while back at this place called Penelope's Venue and it was tiny. I went up to introduce the first guy that was performing and I introduce him and I turn. And as I turn, I trip over the cord and I stumble, but I catch myself and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm good. I caught myself. And then I just hear a noise and I turn around, the whole mic stand, the speakers, everything that the shit was plugged in. I was like, fuck. Devin was so mad. Devin was so mad. Kuz ate shit.
Yeah,
at that one show. That one
was
bad.
I was gonna bring that up actually.
Yeah,
I try to embrace the fuck ups, but hey, knocking over the whole PA system.
It's how you recover. It's how you recover.
At least it was the beginning of the show. Like it was like the. It wasn't like the middle where we had to stop everything and do it.
The max amount of people there.
Oh yeah, no, there's barely anyone there off rip.
Dude, what construction are they doing over there? Jeez, I hope this isn't picking up.
Ripping ass.
This was not going on during our first one. Damn, I'm sorry about that.
That's what I get for being late.
No. We'll be straight. I'm just hoping it doesn't
pick
up. I don't
think it'll pick up that much.
So when does getting into Get Fresh and like really taking it professionally come into the picture for you?
I actually, when I was like, so I did go to school a little bit. I got like a certificate for using Pro Tools. Took some online classes.
From where?
Berkeley.
Wow.
But it's Berkeley Online. I don't think it's the same as going to like classes there, but it was nice. There was a lot of stuff that like, you know, learning how to do it by the book, other stuff I wouldn't have known, but then also didn't have any like in studio experience. So, I was like trying to intern at a couple places and I got tired of that early on. So I was actually talking with Mike from Get Fresh and this was when he was still at the house.
I was going to say, how did you guys meet?
Yeah, Michael started Get Fresh out of his house, and around the same time, he was looking for a building, and I'm looking to get into the business, so we were kind of messing with the idea of partnering up. I ended up doing my own thing, and he still started Get Fresh, or, you know, Get Fresh expanded. I got a space at the Russell Industrial and did that for a couple years, and that was a lot of fun. A lot of fun, met a lot of different artists.
I know what you're about to say.
Yeah, is that, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Joe Jack, you know Joe Jack? I know I did say that.
I'm not sure.
I was going to say Joe Jackson.
I'm not sure.
There was another studio that was ran out of there too, and he used to go up there all the time.
There's like, there's the art building, and then there's another building. I was in the other building. And on my floor, I think there was probably 10 different studios up there.
Yeah, because there was like a group, there was one studio down the hall. There was bands next door that were running band practice.
We had a band right next door, so that's I'd have a session, and then I'd have like a garage band as I'm trying to track vocals next door.
Oh, damn,
yeah. It was terrible. Oh, my God. This is actually the craziest part, and I forget about this. Our neighbors who moved in had crickets. They were farming crickets so they could, like, make, like, bars or something for human consumption. So, like, a lot of times I would go down there and...
Wait.
Yeah.
Go back. What were they made for?
They were, like, making, like, protein bars out of these crickets.
So my God.
Listen, I'm going to get into it, bro. So, a lot of times we'd sleep there. We had air mattresses and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like, one day I just woke up and, like, I was hearing crickets. I was like, what the hell? Well, the crickets were going under the wall into my unit. So I'm like, you cannot be serious right now. I swear to God, like 50, maybe 100 or more crickets in my room. So we start bombing it. And then like my step pops and like other people, we were joking about like drilling a hole and like bombing their room. Cause they built pretty much like a sandbox with no top on it and just dumped all these crickets into it. So
how do they sleep?
They like didn't live there. You know what I'm saying? You're not supposed to really be staying there, but
yeah,
you know,
true. Yeah.
I'd go down there at like 11 p.m. and just stay all night and then go home and then shower and come back, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that's how Joe got kicked out, low-key.
Yeah, crickets in the studio's crazy.
Right.
That place was creepy as fuck.
I loved it there. It was
it was
a lot
dope.
Of fun. I would like skate around the hallways and stuff.
Bro.
A lot of exploring. There were some goats there. So that really tripped people out because I'd be like, you guys want to go see the goats? Yeah. So I eventually left the Russell because, like you said, you know, people were sleeping there and whatnot. So the fire department, city of Detroit, was coming through.
How long ago was this?
I want to say 2017.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And so.
Oh, damn. Yeah, you were before.
Yeah. Like the fire department's coming through inspecting all the units, and they're asking people like, "You sleep here, or whatever?" And I was like, "I might take a nap or something," but. So they're going through all the units and they tell us we have to move out. Like they're pretty much evicting everybody because it's not safe to be there. So we move everything out. And the day we get done, they're like, oh, well, you guys can actually stay now. So I was past that. I was just like, it's over.
Didn't want to put up with it.
What was shitty is they still end up taking my security deposit because we left stuff in the room. Damn. But I mean, I thought it was a safety hazard. So I wasn't about to move out a couch or nothing.
Yeah.
So anyways, I posted on Facebook, I'm looking for a place to work and take my clients. So this guy, Kevin Sharp, who I actually had known prior because he was a sound guy and my band played a battle of the bands. We didn't win, but he was nice enough to say, hey, you know, you guys brought some people out. So if you guys want to come record a demo. So we did that. It was not very good. And that was on our part, really. But he ended up reaching out saying, hey, you want to come work at the studio? It was a place called Metro 37. And I actually had recorded there with another producer. I seen he was working there. So this was many years after that. And so I worked at Metro 37 till about, I think, 2022. So I've only been at Get Fresh for 2 years now. Yeah. Metro 37 was my home before that. It was a real dope spot. We had Belly come through. We had Brock Hampton.
Hey,
that's pretty dope. Before I was there, Kevin, the guy who took me in, and Kevin was a real cool guy. He had Fall Out Boy. Like he personally engineered for Fall Out Boy, and if you just seen him, you wouldn't expect that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then like Polyphia recorded out of there. A lot of metalcore.
Huh. So like, you said you knew Mike when he was starting Get Fresh at the crib. I'm curious how you guys met and then how you guys reconnected down the road for you to get into Get Fresh.
Yeah, we always, you know, stayed friends. And I think a lot of engineers and producers are kind of, you know, we follow each other and see when someone got some new gear or whatever. If, you know, I wouldn't say we were super close or nothing, but, you know, eventually we just reconnected. And I'd been trying to get into Get Fresh for like probably 6 months before I did. And that was right when... Primo and Danny G started working there. They opened up the B room. So they were kind of just getting settled in. So it took me a little while to get onboarded, whatever. And yeah, I started Get Fresh. So like I said, I've been there 2 years. So that what was that, 2023? And that was definitely a change of pace. I thought I was going to get more clients being there. And I also thought my clients from Metro 37 were going to go with me. And some of them did, you know, but it's just the game is, I don't know, it's unpredictable.
Right.
Facts.
while working at Get Fresh, you've worked with guys like Jelly Roll, Icewear, Vezo. How did that come about? What's it like working with, you know, a guy like Jelly Roll? You know, he's a global superstar right now.
Mike had let me know about that the day before. I had no idea what he was working on, and it was weird because like 2 weeks before that, Jelly Roll had posted he was looking for a touring engineer on Twitter. So I was hitting him up and trying to have my people like blow him up so he would notice me. And then 2 weeks after that, he somehow books Get Fresh. And so the night before we had known about it, but it's always a possibility that stuff's going to fall through. So I'm just like, all right, trying not to be too excited about it.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I woke up the next day, it was still on. I was feeling good. I was like, cause you know, sometimes that shit can be make you nervous.
Yeah. Facts.
But I was cool. I was just like, cool. No worries. And then Mike tells me, well, he canceled. So I'm like, damn, half hour later. Oh, it's back on. So Jelly actually didn't do any music at Get Fresh. It was an iHeartRadio. He was like reading the top 40, and he was filling in for Ryan Seacrest. So he was like going over, and here's Taylor Swift with whatever. Yeah. That was cool though. So the whole reason Mike asked me to do that was because like the routing with Pro Tools. What I found is like the boring nerdy stuff definitely gets you into places. So knowing how to route a Zoom call into Pro Tools, I was able to get in on this Jelly Roll session, meet him, I forget the guy's name, but he's like the head of radio marketing at whatever label Jelly Roll signed to. And then he pulls up police escort. So that was crazy. Like no one does that. He had just came from like the prison in Flint or something. You know, he had a busy day, and then he's coming here for an hour to do his radio segment, and he killed it. The people in the, like his label people were like, yeah, he's the next Johnny Cash and shit. And so that's definitely a cool feeling. There's like a lot of energy around those people, and you kind of see why they are where they are.
He seems like a great dude, man.
So I was like flagging down the police escort, and I was opening the door to let him in and shit. And like when he greeted me, it was like he was like, what's up, Bubba? Like I had already met him before.
Like he had known you for years. Like,
yeah. So I knew he was going to be like that. And I've been a fan of him like way before he blew up, like when he was just rapping, and I forget what the song was. He's got a Bad Man's World featuring Ritz. I liked his earlier stuff, and there was like a video of him freestyling in a room. They're like doing blow in the background, like crazy. So yeah, that got me in for that session, just being able to route a Zoom call to Pro Tools. We just hit record, and then they had producers in LA. It was through iHeartRadio, and they were just you know, kind of coaching him through it or telling him whatever the line
is. What they needed.
I think we had some text on the screen, so maybe like a little teleprompter. So that was cool. And then getting in with Vezo, that actually wasn't through Get Fresh. It was through my buddy Darian. He's a photographer. He took the picture of Vezo with Eminem. So I had known him for a couple years. And one day he just – what's crazy about this is so – when Jelly Roll was there, I asked him, I was like, hey, I've seen you're looking for like a touring engineer. Like, who do I need to get in contact with? And he gave me a name, but I didn't know who or how to find this person. So I was trying to hit up, the dude from the label I met. And then my email, like I got like a blocked sender email. So I was like, damn, I got to find a different option. But I waited like a month to like try to contact them. And the day I was contacting them, my buddy Darian calls me and says, hey, you want to come do a podcast at Vezo's? So I'm like, you know, I didn't really know what I was getting into with that. But yeah, just pulled up to do a podcast, doing sound for it. He was doing the video and, you know, sitting down to talk with Vezo about payment, whatever else. I was just like, who do you got engineering for you? He said, nobody. So a week or so after that, he hit me up and was like, hey, I'm trying to finish my album. Can you come help me? So I'm like, bet. So I think the first song we did was called, I think it was Ain't Enough. And I think that's one of my favorite songs he's done. So we did Ain't Enough, and then we did Class of 2024 projects. The night we did Class of 2024 was a really weird moment. So I was...
story time.
Yeah, story time. A lot of stories.
I'm excited to hear it.
So GT was there. And there was a bunch of people there. Normally it would just be me and Vezo by ourselves and not a lot of distraction, but this time we had a room full of people. So we did a song with GT. And then there's some girls there. They had them like do the chorus, whatever. Well, anyways, I had plans to hang out with my parents and my Uncle Mike because it was like right around the holidays. I was taking a tolerance break from smoking. And so my uncle and my step pops, they're sending me pictures of this huge joint they rolled. So I'm about to go hang out with them. And I'm just like, hey, guys, don't wait on me because like I'm not smoking anyways. So I work till about midnight. And like I said, we do the class of 2024 song. I pull up at my parents' house and I'm not even there for 5 minutes. And my aunt's calling my mom, like, my grandpa just had a stroke. My uncle found him on the ground, whatever. So it was just like, I was the only person who could drive at that point. So now we're running out to the hospital. But it was just like, it was weird because I just had a super high moment, like, recording this class of 2024 song. I thought it was going to, like, go crazy for him because to me it was just like a different sounding track.
Yeah.
The beat's a little bit weirder compared to his other stuff. But fortunately, my grandpa has made pretty much a full recovery.
That's good.
Yeah, so it was just, yeah, it was a bit nerve-wracking.
Oh yeah, yeah. I bet. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Yeah. Fuck.
With that being said, what's on your plate for something at least that you can speak on, you know? Yeah. You got stuff coming out soon. What can the fans be expecting for, you know, new music projects, events, anything you got going on?
There's always something. And I forget because it's like, you know, you work on stuff and it doesn't come out for months later. I know Vezos has to have something in the vault, and there might be some other stuff, various artists I produced. Off top, I can't think of anything. I've been trying to get my personal EP out there, like, any day. I've just been sitting on it for, like, a year, so I just need to do some spring cleaning, get this one out the way. So I'm working on a bunch more songs. I got new singles and stuff. I want to get the old stuff out and just get on with the new, you know?
Yeah. Damn.
Be on the lookout for real.
Just, yeah, no, for real. But to like just hear that he's like, I'd rather take time and do my personal music, blows my mind because we didn't even know that he made music until five years before we started. It's just like, I'm hyped to see that now too.
Yeah.
I just looked at it as producer and I'm like, this is,
that's a whole other part.
Yeah,
what it
yeah.
is, like, I do feel like engineering, I can do that in my sleep and like I excel at it and it has got me into rooms that I otherwise wouldn't have been in. But working with a lot of artists, I just feel like I have a better shot than they do, unfortunately, or like I have more realistic expectations. Like I just know how hard you have to go to like really do something with it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people just don't know what it really takes, you know?
Yeah. And you got the whole behind the scenes,
yeah,
you know, like you get to see it from that side too, so that's awesome.
It's and that side of stuff has definitely helped with my process because it's just like I said, you soak up energy from people. And
yeah,
there was one day Vezo was on tour and he hit me up. A producer was at his studio or needed to get into his studio and no one was there, so he was like, hey, can you go let them in? I'm just like, yeah, whatever. And it was super last minute. I'm going in at like 10 p.m It ends up being a producer named Bandplay who produced for Big X, The Plug. Huh. So I'm just there with him till like 3 a.m. And like within 10 minutes, he's asking me, he's like, hey, you got any like melodies or anything? So just off going to the studio, got a little collab with him. He cooked up to like three of my melodies.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Haven't heard nothing, but you know, that's how it is.
Right.
You just don't know until
you just work
until
on something
like about to come out.
That's kind of the beautiful thing with music too, though, is like, you're just living in the moment, making some art.
Right.
Like you don't know where it's going to go. Oh. It starts as nothing, and then it just comes out as a finished product. And it could be the what's the word I'm looking for? The directions or like the routes are like
could go
endless.
Anywhere.
Yeah, it's wild.
What I've accepted is like, so I'm not that I think I'm like a terrible rapper or anything, but say I was the worst rapper, but I'm producing my own beats and stuff. I just figure like if I put 300 songs out there, maybe they'll pick up my song, just the instrumental for a sync placement or something, you know?
Yeah.
Like you just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
that is true.
I completely agree with that. If you could only do one for the rest of your life, mix, produce or record, and you had to go all in on one, what would it be? obviously you would never.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But
if you had to, I would have to
say produce. Cause I don't know. I feel like I could, I got some leeway to maybe throw a hook on something, whatever, if I'm producing. And, you know, I like to, take the approach of, you know, when I'm crafting my sounds and stuff, you do what you can so you don't really have to mix them, you know?
Yeah. You're a genius. Do you sample your own voice sometimes?
So actually, I not too much with my own voice, but I a lot of times I arrange stuff. Like I'll make a little composition, whatever, just to resample it. And okay. that ends up being my favorite stuff.
Wow. Yeah. I've never thought about... So you take like pretty much a full beat and then go back in and chop that up.
It might not be a full beat. It might just be like the melody section.
Okay. Yeah.
I've done a couple things where I do put the drums in there, but just like nerding out a little bit, I got this plugin. It's, you know, the SP1200 sampler. It's like the classic drum machine like Wu-Tang used and whoever else. I got a plugin that emulates that, so I like to make my sample.
You said it's called what?
RX1200.
We're dropping some game right now.
Yeah, the plugin company, I think, is like Imphonic or something. So I got like this RX1200 plugin and then like an RX950. It's like a filter for like $20. And I've been using the shit out of this RX1200. I'll make a melody and I'll chop it and then I'll load it up on the pad and I switch it to the 45 RPM setting. So now it sounds all pitched up and like the tempo's changed. But to me, it's just kind of, you know, gave me a new sound.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah. That's like one of, I want to get better at sampling. I dibble and dabble with it. I can make a sampled beat, but like, I know there's way more that goes into it that I want to sit down and learn. So you saying that plugin, like, yeah.
My approach with sampling when I first started definitely used to be really hit or miss. But like my process now, if I show you, it's almost like, as long as like your chops are lined up, like
beats,
you're gonna make something
like it's on time. Like if it's on time,
because that a lot of times that would be the issue. Like I feel like the old songs would like the tempo kind of like drifts.
Yes,
it might tell you it's 79, but it's like falling off. So we need if you just load up the audio, it's like it's not gonna work. And that's what would happen to me. But like now, the way I'm chopping it and lining my notes up, whatever, it's just I don't know. I got a process.
It's not
you know?
Not sampleable now, right? Yeah. Dude, I need to learn that because that's like the problem I'm at right now.
I got two different ways to do it too, so I'll show you.
Yeah, you'll have to show me because that's like the one thing that's really like I'm going through right now as we speak in my producer journey. So
I don't do a lot of sampled stuff, but that's like I do want to get a record player and actually pull from vinyl.
That'd be sick.
But that's why I do. You know, I just make my own melodies, and I see it. I think it is kind of like a trend on TikTok and whatever of people making like soul samples for you to flip or whatever. So that's really what I'm trying to do, but I just like the sound, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. What does an average studio, you can answer this from either perspective, as a artist, producer, engineer, what's the average studio session looking like for you?
Average. It does vary a lot.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
It does vary. You get a lot of different characters and stuff. I dodged a bullet with one client I had. I'm not even gonna get into that one. It's I had a prepaid me for 10 hours. They wanted half the money back, and usually it's no takesy backsies, but I didn't feel like dealing with the I didn't want them like trying to hunt me down or anything. So I just gave them a full refund for the 10 hours because I'm not playing around with it.
Right.
Average session though, actually in the studio, I mean, I wish there was more longer sessions, but I feel like with a lot of hip hop stuff, it usually between 2 and 4 hours, you know, if working with the artist, they'll usually come in with a beat. There's some people where I'll produce for them. One session, you know, so like I said, I'll make a beat every day. So sometimes people will be walking in as I'm making a beat and that's what they want to use.
Like, oh, what's this?
I try not to be too stingy about it. Like, all right, yeah, let's, you know, we got a vibe going. So with that person, they actually had never done like the punch in style for a song. And that process used to be really strange to me because like I was used to writing and like
walking into the studio ready.
I want people to come in prepared and stuff.
Right.
But that so I did one song in 2018 that like right now has got 12 million views. It's not my song. It's East Warren Buck, Dre Gobino, Hands On. It was the first song that they did that kind of took off. And that session was like I was not feeling the vibe. I had worked with them all before, so we already had a relationship. But they just showed up late. I showed up late, whatever. sorry. No. So they showed up late, and then they had like hot and readies and shit, and then they didn't have anything wrote. So I was just like, damn, like we're like 45 minutes in, we don't got nothing yet. And then they end up punching a hit, you know, they punched a hit and like my mix on it's awful, but it didn't matter.
So you think the punch in method took a while for you to grow on?
It did, and it definitely doesn't work for everybody. No, right, but right. I almost don't want to work with anybody who couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? I feel like you got to be able to adapt, and that's one thing Chris definitely, who's about to be here, put me on. You know, he's like, you know, you can't sit there for 2 hours and write a verse. Like, you got to be able to, you know, keep up.
Right. Yeah. No, there's a lot of people that come here that punch in, and like, it takes a lot of talent. Like, you got to be quick. You know, you got to think fast. Like, it's.
Yeah.
You still got to be on beat. The punching method it's fascinating to me for sure.
I've been doing it, and I've been doing it for like 2 or 3 years now personally. And I choose not to write anymore. It's just writing's boring, where punching's fun. And it's
all
like,
in the moment.
Yeah.
It's all in the moment.
And so like, I'll kind of be occupying myself by like engineering and editing as I'm trying to think of my next bar. But it's just like, you know, it's a game where like I might be listening to it, and I work in punch mode in Pro Tools. So like, if I think of something, I can just press 3 as I'm listening and just let it fly, you know?
How do you think it compares for you personally when you're writing your own music compared to either writing or punching in? Like, do you find it easier? Do you find it just more organic? Like,
so
do you get what I'm trying to ask?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's, well, I definitely overthink stuff. So when I'm punching, it's more off the top. But I've actually surprised myself where it's like, you know, I think being in Michigan, we know what we're talking about when it comes to the punching. Like, people have that obvious punching sound, and we just know that's the sound. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. So I'll do stuff like that. But I'm also doing stuff where I'm just like, I'm really rapping right now. Like, I'm like, I sound like a lyricist, but I'm just doing this off the dome, punching in. So like, I see how Jay-Z or whoever, like, I feel like Kendrick has to be punching, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I could also see him sitting down writing something.
Yeah,
he definitely does that too.
Bunch of candles around.
Right, right. I found what helps though is like if I start mentally preparing an idea before I get in front of the mic.
You're saying like finding the melody, just like humming syllables
and
whatnot,
melody,
and
just
gibberish.
Some sort of inspiration or a bar I like or a rhyme scheme.
Yeah,
you know, something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't make music personally anymore, like recording, but I like to write. I've always enjoyed writing. Yeah. Like, and that's kind of how I go about it. I'll just kind of like hum a little melody and just like try to find a pocket and then make those words fill in. So that's interesting. Everyone, it's so like new clients that come in here, it's so interesting to see like how they approach creating a song, because everyone's different.
It's one of the best parts about making the pod.
Pod?
Yeah.
The music, that we can hear, just in general.
That we can hear all these different ways of approaching a song
or approaching
a beat or all that.
Yeah,
that's what I'd say I appreciate about engineering for a lot of different artists, that I've been able to see so many people's different workflow and add to it and modify my flow. Like, I hate doing things the same way.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you get to pick stuff off of everyone, kind of, you know, and like make it your own. Yeah, that's awesome. What would you say your personal favorite song is? The one that you've made? And maybe one that you've engineered or produced. Yeah, just give me the top three, the number one for each.
Mm. It sucks to say that, you know, when a song does well, is like, that usually does impact like how I feel about it. I would say the Icewear Vezo Ain't Enough. That one's, I just like the vibe of that one, because it's just different. And to me, it's like, you know, $1 million ain't enough when you got people to take care of and whatever else. And so I really do like that song. I feel like that one's a bit more personal for him. Out of my music that I've done, that's so hard to say, because...
Yeah, for the people that are watching right now, what song would you recommend them to go listen to?
I get so burnt out on my own stuff, listening to it, mixing it. It's definitely... My favorite one is probably whatever one I'm working on. It's been a minute. Like, I will say I was on a streak where I was like heating up, every song was sounding how I want it to sound. I kind of cooled down, so I'm kind of just getting the bad ideas out right now. Out of my stuff that's released, it's tough to say. I got a song called Still I like. Maybe Taking My Time is another one, but they're old to me at this point. So, you know, I got some new stuff. I'm gonna repackage those songs with an EP with a couple new songs. And it's like, even those songs, like the songs that people haven't heard, those are old to me. But what I've been working on this year, I can't think of any of the titles right offhand, because they're all pretty much demos right now.
Right.
Well,
I don't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to say how he said he gets tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were talking about on the last episode, is like, you know, you get tired of it. And like, that seems to be a common theme for a lot of people is that they get tired of their own music because they've been listening to it for so long. But the thing is, it might be 3 years old in your phone and to you, but it's brand new to the world.
To the world, right. Yeah.
And that's what I accept. Even these ideas that I'm not enthused about, like, someone else might like it, you know. And they're a lot of times my least favorite song still ends up being someone's favorite.
There's an audience out there somewhere, you know? For it, bro.
Yeah.
Always. You said they're mostly demos right now. I was going to ask what your favorite one is that you've engineered. But I wanted to ask you, when you get, like, a creative block, how do you overcome that? Whether it's producing or just, like, recording your own music.
So I'll be in the studio all day, and I want to get to where I'm just 9-to-5-ing it. But like I said, I don't like doing the same thing every day, but I would like to 9-to-5 it to where just at 5, just shut it off and come back tomorrow. But a lot of times I'll be in the studio till 10 or later, you know, might go past midnight. I try to wake up at like 6 or 7.
Damn.
But it don't always work like that, especially when someone wants a late session.
Late sessions.
But it goes a lot of ways, because I will sit there and try to force myself to get an idea out, but almost always if I just shut it down and come back to it, hopefully it'll be the next day. If it's not the next day, it's the day after that, something will come about.
What are some things you like to do when you do get in that little funk? You know, so, if you're waking up early, what are you doing? Like, you going to the gym? You know, what's your other thing that you're into like that?
Yeah, so I do go to the gym and stuff. Got to do that. Clean the house, man. Clean the house, do some dishes, walk the dogs.
Answer.
Swear to God, yeah. Make the bed every day. Just basic stuff.
You said you got dogs?
Yep.
What kind of dogs?
Chihuahuas. Okay. I never would have thought I'd have chihuahuas, but so my grandma's dog. She had 5 puppies, and I took one of them. I took the baddest one out of the bunch, and it's probably a good thing I did, because someone else got him, they'd have probably rehomed him. My grandma eventually passed away in 2019, and about maybe a year after that, I adopted my dog's dad. So I have his dad is Mickey, and then the dog I had originally is Pablo. So yeah, they're about Pablo's 7, I think Mickey's 8. So yeah, I never would have thought I'd have chihuahuas, but yeah, they're fun.
Oh, yeah.
I got my little sister's got a dachshund.
Okay.
I never thought in a million years. When I found out we were getting that small ass dog, I was like, why are we getting like a tiny little dog? Like, what? Like, let's get like a lab or something, you know? And that dog is like, if something happens to that dog, I need to be put on watch. Like, that is my little homie. So right. I get it. Never thought in a million years.
And that's how my dog's looking at me. I'm my dog's little homie. Like, you can't shake my hand around my dog. Like, he'll bite you. It's bad. It's bad. I'm actually not proud
protective.
Of that. Yeah, they're my little guard dogs. Mm-hmm. And, like, if I do have, like, someone over the house working on music, I got to put up gates and shit. And it's like, the day I brought my dog home when he was a puppy, he's been in sessions. But when we got his dad just gets him riled up.
I was going to say, I've heard having the son.
Yeah, I got the father and son.
The father and son. I've heard they try to, like, it comes down to the dominance thing or whatever that they say. That's why I know that, is because of Chance's dogs. Chance's dogs used to, like, get into it, like, every day, like, actually, like, fighting and stuff.
Crazy.
Yeah.
His dog, Ace, like, when we were at the studio at his house, Ace would chill in sessions and be fine. And then there was a brief period of time where Chance got, like, a white husky.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was the worst I've ever seen Ace.
I'm talking about Ace
his brother. Yeah, no, when he actually bit Chance. I know what you were talking about. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, based on what I've seen, the only time, like, Ace is, like, sometimes will be a little bit too hyper and need to calm down. Mm. But majority of the time at the crib, like, when we were at the crib, he would just cash out on the bed and just, like,
vibing to music.
Yeah. you would see him just bopping his head to the beat sometimes. No, I'm just
when
playing.
You have that block, though, you know, you're in a little funk trying to get out of it. You said you just take a little break. I wanted to ask you, does golf come into the picture at that point? or are you, like, just now getting into golf?
I'm very new to golf right now. Last Sunday was my second time. I'm going again tomorrow. That'll be my third time.
Wait, ever?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're talking like, 18 holes each time. So I'm still like under 60 holes, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So
I was going to say, I'm already at like 100 this year. I've been playing a lot.
That's nice. I get it now. Like, I could probably only go once a week, you know, having to take sessions and whatnot. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
How are you at golf?
Not good. But
that's
So like the first time I went, I did awful, and I didn't know what I was getting into. Like I wasn't prepared. I didn't have clubs yet.
The mental game too.
So technical.
Yeah, I didn't have balls or tees, paws. But luckily, my little brother, he actually gifted me like a nice starter set of clubs. So it's not like I'm out here with like a garage find.
Right.
Yeah.
So I feel like having that helps a little bit. But going to the driving range in between, that helped a ton. So I'm driving a bit better, but I got to work on my like iron shots and stuff.
It's the short game that gets you, dude.
Yeah.
So I just got into, I mean, I've gone golfing before, like growing up, nothing crazy, you know, once a year or whatever, just like going out with the boys, having fun.
Yeah.
Last year is when I like really got addicted.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just found it more fascinating than years prior. And last year I was terrible. I think when I first started going, I was getting around like 130s, 140s. Mm. I just broke 100 for the first time like last week.
Okay.
I just got new fitted clubs.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, if you're down to go
golfing. What kind of clubs you got?
They're Cobras, and then I got some for my 52 degree, I got a Cleveland, and then for my 5 wood, I got a TaylorMade. It was kind of just what felt right.
Okay.
I went to a simulator, and they took my yardages and all that stuff, and I tried out a bunch of different clubs, and whatever felt right to me is what I picked.
Okay.
But yeah, just broke 100 for the first time the other week. Last year's when I really got into it. So if you're ever down to golf, dude, just hit me up. I'll gladly go.
Like, you guys trying to run a 9 after this? But you got Chris coming through.
We could do the pod on the course. Chris, you want to go golfing or what? Chris, you want to go golfing? Yeah, we did. We have talked about a podcast episode golfing.
That'd be fire.
Maybe we could work on that. You could be the first one to do outside of here.
We can figure it out.
Yeah, I knew I was going to love it to where, like, I want to go all in, get nice clubs, get a fit. I still need to get shoes and stuff. But I'm actually, like, I'm taking a step back, and I'm just like, you know what, I'm going to play, and I'm going to get a little bit of experience with, like, other people's stuff. Like, you know, if they want to let me use a club, whatever. Just see what's out there before I just go spending the money on whatever else. Because we know with the music stuff, there's always something
coming out
pay for. Yeah.
It's triple bogey every time for me, or I'm not finishing.
Growing up, I would go with my dad to the dunes and just ride around the golf cart while me and my dad and my uncle would play, and I would just look for alligators, and I would never saw one on shore. Like, it would always be like they would pop out in the water or something until that year, the first year of the outing after my uncle passed.
Damn.
No way.
We're playing, and the dude that we're with, we were in a foursome, the dude that we were with was like, oh, there's a big old gator over there, and I'm just like, it was my turn, so I just fucking hit. Like, just fuck, I don't care where it goes. And I walk over there, and it's like, it wasn't like no any bitty alley. Like, bro, 13 feet, 12 foot. Like, it was a big dude. I love nature. Anything animals and that shit, this can all get cut.
I would cook up. I'd throw on Planet Earth or whatever. You know,
facts, bro. Those used to hit, like those Nat Geographic movies and shit.
I know what you're talking
about. You have the like super calm person in the background, whether it's Morgan Freeman or somebody from the UK or something. You know, those shits used to hit. I hear what you're saying.
We'll have to get out on the course, man. I want to play with you. We'll have to see. I'm not too educated on golf. I'm still figuring out. I got a baseball swing at heart.
I just play for fun.
Right. So I mean, so thing is, like, I'll try to give some game that of what I know or what, but I, like I said, I'm only a year and a half into like really taking it serious. So
facts,
I mean, like, but just to get out there, it's fun, man.
Yeah, it's a good time. Good to have something different, you know.
Yeah. All right, that leads me into my next question. What is your biggest weakness as a musician, whether it's producing or recording, and something you want to improve on or know you need to improve on in the future?
Well, it's definitely putting music out, number one, and putting it out and not going ghost. You know,
so consistency.
A lot of people say that. Yeah.
Yep, that's a very common
answer. I mean, I guess, like, at the same time, like, I did have different shit going on with life to where, you know, I couldn't always be creating. But, like, right now, this year, I've just been, you know, my goal is to do 10 songs a month. So I'm pretty much there. I'm behind on this month. I've been behind on every month. But I finish those songs, and I start the next ones. So, you know, hopefully end of the year I'll have 120 songs. And, you know, not every song's good. But I would say out of the 30, I got like 5 I like. You know, I'm my own worst critic. So, you know, just want to put stuff out, not go ghost, you know, stop overthinking it. You know, I would say that's really what it is.
Good answer.
Good answer,
So you're making a beat a day and 2 songs a week?
So like, trying to just do 10 about? A month. 10 a month. So yeah, I don't, if that's what it
two, three. Wow. Beat a day is crazy. I've tried to lock in, but dude, life gets in the way.
There's been plenty of times where I'd only spent 5 minutes on it, and sometimes it's really lazy. But then there's other times where it's like I really don't feel like doing it, and just made some heat, you know.
Have you seen all the Have you seen all the speed runs of like, making a beat?
FL.
Yeah,
yeah, and it, like, I feel like I'm pretty fast, but like
I was gonna ask, what's your fastest? And then
it's like, you know, the speed is one thing because you got to keep the vibe going. But like my favorite stuff, I sit there and just work on the melody for like 40 minutes before I even start drums.
Yep. You know? Yep. I was going to ask you though, like, what's the fastest you made one? What's the longest you've taken on a beat? Like, what's the average?
So when I heard J. Cole, he had like that 7 minute drill, whatever, like they would do like a 7 minute beat and he'd come up with whatever lyrics in 7 minutes. I have tried to do both. I'll say the 7 minute lyrics is good to get some ideas started. But 7 minute beats, I could do that all day, you know, 5 minutes.
Wow.
You know, and that's not completely mixing it or exporting it.
Just the blueprint. Just
get a beat.
Make the beat. Yeah. And, you know, I can melody, 808, hi-hat, kick, snare, you know, that's all you really need. I try to go take it a little bit farther, make sure I do the percussion or a chorus section, whatever, you know, but yeah, definitely can get some quick ideas out there and just the repetition, you know.
Yeah, I'm for sure a quality over quantity type of guy when it comes to that type of stuff.
I would say that's also part of my weakness, is I'm big on the quality. I don't want to sacrifice the quality at all, but I've realized I'm moving too slow, you know.
Sometimes simple is just more effective though, too.
Like, I believe that.
Like, I've showed guys beats that I'm like, you know, I didn't tell them this, but I'm like, this one took me, you know, hour or two to make to like really get like a full solid production, then they're not messing with it.
Yeah.
And then I play them a beat that I made in 10-15 minutes, and they're like, this is the one. I'm it just blows my mind.
People's beat selection, you almost can't even predict it. Right. Like, you might think they like a certain sound, and that might be true, but like, with Vezo, he said he picks his beats if he comes up with some lyrics. Like, if he got four bars, that's how he picks the beat. You know, because like, you might have the hardest beat, and it's kind of just might be overwhelming to write to it, you know?
Right. No, I get that for sure. I'm going to ask you this from all three perspectives, engineering, producing, and recording. If you could make a collab album with any artist, who would it be?
Collab album.
So let's start with you recording.
Recording? Ah, man.
Like your own personal music.
Yeah. But you're saying like for recording, like
not engineering, like you vocal, doing the vocals,
collab,
like,
artistry with I would say someone like the Alchemist for sure.
Okay.
Alchemist, Thundercat or Flying Lotus, even if gonna want to get a little crazy. I would have to think a little bit more, but for sure the Alchemist, or I'm sure there's some other producers out there. I got a lot of producers where it's like, you know, you might not be doing an album with them, but my dream album would be, you know, getting, you know, my 10 favorite producers to all contribute, you know.
Right. What are your top 5 favorite plugins / VSTs? Drop some sauce for me, because I need some new stuff.
I love all the SSL native stuff. Their channel strip. It's funny because people, like, you know, you see people selling all their hardware, all the analog stuff to go digital. Well, with these SSL plugins, people are buying control surfaces to control their plugins. So that's kind of why I like the SSL stuff. They got the channel strip, their bus compressor. I'm gonna try to be specific about the 5, but I would say their channel strip for sure. And they got like this 360 mix console, so pretty much no matter what DAW you're in, you can kind of have an SSL console virtually. So I'll go with the SSL channel strip. I don't want to name like just the basic compressors. I like a lot of UAD stuff. I'm going to throw the Paltech out there because I never used to use the Paltech. But to me, that has just turned into like the little bit of sparkle that you need, or you get a low end boost out of it. So we got the SSL channel strip, the Paltech. Trying to think. I like a lot of tape plugins too. I've been using the Ampex on my 2 mix and like the Studer on individual stuff, so we'll throw on some tape. if we're talking de-esser, I like the Lindell 902 for like low latency stuff. You could use it while you're tracking. I kind of went crazy with de-essing because it was something that really bothered me. I'd manually do it, turning down all the clips in the session, and then I'd have the plugins. And eventually I just got to the point where I was like, I just need this to be simpler. So I ended up buying a plugin called Smart DS. So it takes some CPU or whatever. It's not low latency. But to me, it was just like, all right, I can just run my vocals through this and forget about it. So I would say either Lindell 902 or Smart DS. Last plugin, like, what could it be? I don't really know.
I'm a big Omni guy for some reason.
I don't have an Omnisphere. I would love to get it. I have all the contact stuff. I got Analog Lab. Those are both great. I've been using Expand lately, but I kind of felt like I had Expand with Pro Tools, so I felt like it was just some stock shit. But honestly, like, I kind of like those sounds. I'm trying to think. What else is there? Okay, last one, I will throw out a compressor. I just got the UAD Empirical Labs Distressor, so it's kind of like a more modern 1176 paired with a LA2 or whatever, maybe not, I don't know. But I like it just because, like, you can hear it. Some stuff is just too transparent, but like the Distressor, you can get like a kind of gritty tone. And that's what I like stuff that's kind of dirtier. Some of the albums that the Alchemist did with like Rock Marciano was mixed by this guy. His name's Eddie Sancho. He actually did some of Limp Bizkit. But the stuff with him and Alchemist, it sounds like it wasn't mixed. And I just really dig that sound. But it's like, it's not like it's not mixed in a bad way. It's just they did just what they had to do, and it's pretty, you know, I don't know.
Five dinner guests, dead or alive.
Okay. We talking like
anyone, doesn't have to be
mastermind
musicians.
Mastermind council dinner guests.
You got like, five seats at a table. What are you eating? Who's cooking and who's sitting down with you?
What am I cooking, man? I don't know. I might have to impress these people.
You don't have to cook.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have somebody cook.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not cooking. Oh man. I don't know about the meal. I would say my people I would have at the table, I would say like Nipsey Hussle. Might throw in Mac Miller. We're throwing my grandma, RIP. Maybe someone like Jimi Hendrix, Jay Dilla. How many is that? Four?
That was five.
That's five. That's my five. All right. Yeah.
You went straight musicians and grams.
Yep. Yeah. All right. So based on that, what would we have? What would everyone like?
It's up to you. It's your dinner, man.
Yeah. It's up to you. Completely up to you.
All right, so I like these things called chicken puffs.
Chicken puffs.
They're like chicken in like a with like cream cheese in a what's the like the biscuits that come in the roll?
Like a croissant type
of
deal.
Yeah, like a croissant with this gravy. So that's always like my go-to.
Is that something you grew up on? Were you eating that as a kid? Like, is that something like your parents made?
My step pop's mom made it, and then my mom makes it now. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Who are your personal favorite top five artists? I'm assuming four of them were just at that table.
Shit,
but
actually,
could be any genre.
So, top five. I'm gonna start with the band. So there's a band called Phoenix I really like. We'll throw in Mac and Nipsey again. Try not to keep it all rap. So that's three. I'm gonna throw in some John Mayer.
Okay. I just tried sampling one of his songs, actually. didn't turn out too well, but
I'll throw in Hayley Williams.
Ooh, that's dude.
She's got some fire.
I've always said if I could work with one female artist ever, it would be Hayley Williams. Yeah.
Yeah,
dude, she's so talented. I love her music for some reason.
I used to think
know.
She sang that song. I got this feeling on the summer day when you were gone.
No, that's a
that's Charlie. XEX and somebody else.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. The I don't care. Yeah,
that's hard.
That song was a hit for a minute.
Yeah.
Still pump that song.
If you could only listen to one album for the rest of your life, start to finish, no skips.
I'm gonna say like Isaiah Rashad, The Sun's Tirade.
Yep. I'm familiar.
I'm not.
No?
I've never really tapped in.
Jazzy Rashad?
Yeah, nah.
Got some good music.
I mean,
music.
For me personally, like, I keep, like, my rap's pretty, like, straightforward with the guys I like, and I've, like, stuck with the same guys for, like, since I've been became life. A fan. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you had a gun to your head and you had to sing every lyric to a song in order to stay alive, can't be one of your own.
Yeah, yeah.
What song are you singing?
So it has to be a song I could say all the words. So I learned some cover songs, so that's actually easy. I could do like Stone Temple Pilots' Plush.
Okay.
And that's just like one. I've learned a ton of cover songs, actually.
That's a smart way to go about it. Yeah. I never even thought about that. I have like four covers, and I said Don't Stop Believing by Journey, but I could have used any of those.
There's a lot of songs where I think I would know the lyrics, but it's just like, yeah.
There's always that one, like, you'll think you know it, like, yeah, front to back, perfect, and then there's that one part you're like, what'd he say there? What?
I make up my own lyrics a lot of times.
Yeah, just make it sound right. Hopefully they don't shoot.
For people watching that may want to get into music, and even me, since I'm an up-and-coming producer, you know, yeah, just getting started with it, what's some advice you can share for someone watching this, and maybe even me?
It's a lot to unpack. It's a lot to unpack for sure. I would say show up on time, but I was late today. So we're going to throw that one out the window because most people don't do that anyways. But I would say no, just handle your business and, you know, treat people good. You know, don't be a diva, you know.
Right. Last guy said don't rush it.
That's,
you know,
don't
rush art, and only control what you can control.
Facts.
And yeah, I've been looking at life like that for the last, like, 5 years. Like, when I went to college, that was, like, one of the first things I learned was, like, only control what you can control.
Yeah.
So, no, very well said. This was a great episode.
Hell,
I do want
to
thank you for coming on.
Me.
Yeah, man.
Pleasure to meet
you
guys.
I do have one more question for
you.
All right. In the next 10 years, are there any other ventures, whether inside music or outside of music, that you want to pursue?
For sure. I'm actually, I'm tired. Like, I don't want to say I'm tired doing music, but, like, I want to get my success with music out the way so I can pursue other stuff, you know.
Okay.
What I'm saying,
so when that day comes, what is the things that you want to be doing?
Other stuff,
definitely, you know, just want to own some sort of business beyond, you know, just studio stuff,
right?
You know, or do something for the community, you know, maybe a public studio or something of sort.
Oh, that'd
something
be
for the kids, you know.
Yeah.
I love like anytime you could put an instrument in a kid's hands, like, that's the best thing.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
Yeah.
No, like I said, I do want to thank you for coming on.
For real.
I'm excited to see what you got going on in the future.
Yeah.
I do want to sit down. Maybe we could go golfing,
yeah,
and then
golfing.
Go, and then I'll learn some Pro Tools, making a beat on Pro Tools.
Anytime, let me know.
Do it on the golf course.
On the golf course?
Yeah. Like,
you might have an idea, right?
We'll bring the laptop.
Golf, film, like, the ball, the golf golf club.
Make a beat out of only golf sounds?
That's what I'm saying.
That would be crazy.
Like, put the
mic
right up to the sand and drop the ball.
That would be crazy.
Some shit, you know?
We probably could make a beat out of that. I'm not going to lie. There's enough sounds in golf that you could.
100%.
Hell yeah.
Drop shit in
water. Maybe we got an idea on our
hands. Let's get it.
Well, no, like I said, thank you for coming on. All of his stuff will be in the description. 100%. Link in the description.
Appreciate you guys.
Anything you got before we get off here?
Great episode.
Hell yeah, it was
for
a
real
great episode.
Thank you
With that
guys.
Being said, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Peace
out.
Wee-woo.